Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Foot.
The premier
locker room
show in Chicago, Inside the
Locker Room.
That's right. We do this segment on Fridays because Mark Rohde takes us inside the locker room. And Mark Rohde is here to do just that very thing.
Thank you very much. Yes, I was out at the hall yesterday, a Thursday, for open locker room. And technically, what you were about to hear was just outside of the locker room. Sometimes players will choose, or the media relations folks will choose, to take a player in the hallway when they know there's going to be a big crowd. It keeps from the interview spilling over into other lockers. You guys have been in those scenarios where you're literally standing in front of another player's locker and you're bugging them and everybody's sort of pushing and shoving. So, yes, we've all been there and had the shaky mic and all that. They took us to the outside of there. We gathered around a nice backdrop and we talked to DJ Moore about all sorts of stuff. I thought that this was pretty direct and sometimes even entertaining from our guy, DJ Moore.
Yeah, Ben starts this week talking about the need to get the passing game enlivened, and then he details it down to each position group. What do you hear, and what's the message coming off a signature win when the coach brings it up right away?
Get that done, or we won't have no passing game. So we need to be on the details on that. So, I mean, I like running the ball and blocking for the backs and get all the accolades, but no, we need some love on the outside too. So we need to get that going.
So that said, did you like hearing that from the coach?
You never want to hear nothing. I mean, it wasn't negative, but it wasn't the best feeling. So you just want to not have him say that anymore. So we just on the details.
So do you guys feel like you have to be on those details a little more?
Yeah. I mean, we got to be on them week in and week out. But when he brings it to light, you better go out there and execute.
Specific example of some of the route precision that you can.
I could tell you from my perspective. I slipped twice. This year, and I usually never do that, and the one in Philly was bad, and can't have that no more.
I mean, that's out of your control, right? Like,
No, that's not out of my control. They my feet. What you mean? Like, what you mean? Like, yeah. So when I slipped, I already knew. I was like, man, and they threw the ball. I was like, please just don't pick it, and let's try to move on from that.
Right cleats? You had the right. Did the feet have the right cleats?
All my cleats is the right cleats. Nike is the right way. But yeah, it didn't have nothing to do with the cleats. It was just me and how I was coming out the route.
Take the North had their fingerprints all over that interview with DJ Moore. What do you guys think?
TTN.
Enlivened. Dan used the word enlivened.
Ooh.
And DJ was cool with it.
Yeah, he was. He wasn't quite cool with Dan enabling him, though. Dan trying to give him excuses. And he's like, dude, they're my feet.
They my feet.
I control my feet. I get out of bed every day knowing that my feet are controlled by me and nobody else.
But here's the thing. You can't control the surface. So, like,
yeah, that's why I asked about the spikes.
And he wasn't the only one who lost his footing on that field. So did the defender on that one Colson Loveland catch. So, like, you know, there is a flip side to it. I appreciate him taking responsibility.
Yeah, the accountability piece of it, I think we can't just run by that. We have to acknowledge that he's willing to be like, hey, man, nah, that's on me. Because that tells you that he wants to make sure he's not the weakest link. And I think that's what this whole passing game comment earlier this week was all about. Ben Johnson called out the passing game and everyone involved in it, whether that's the people blocking for the passing game and the offensive line slash tight ends slash running backs, whoever's chipping, you know, let the chips fall where they may. Well, we're going to see some chips this weekend. I can guarantee you that with a you-know-who running around talking about how he's been disrespected all his life. Listen, I like the fact that DJ Moore is setting kind of an example here and being, as a veteran who's been in through some bad seasons with the Bears, he's saying, I will do my part and be better than what you saw last weekend. And I think that's the bottom line.
And we got to keep an eye on the just refreshed no injury report yet, but it'll be coming out soon. And it is interesting that Roma Dunze was held out of practice yesterday because of that foot. It's a heel specifically, which he's been dealing with all year. But I don't know if this is just get as much rest as possible and then play. That's my gut. But, I mean, DJ Moore might have to have a big game this week. Even if Rome plays, he should have a big game, but he may be the primary this week.
Well, given what happened when Olamide Zaccheaus's targets were limited, his plays were limited, it did result in a more well-distributed ball for the rest of the offense. So I'm not necessarily mad about that if an option taken away gets the ball to somebody else who may have a good game. Speaking of the comments by Micah Parsons, which is what you're referring to, Marshall, inside the Packers locker room, he did talk about getting disrespected.
Are you seriously still looking for respect? You personally?
Yeah.
How? I mean, you're like one of the best players in the league.
I don't see it that way. I don't. I think every week people question my worth. People try to believe me and take away my name and when you're the best, that's what happens. Like, you are talked about. Like, you are looked at more closely. Like, I could go out there and have 5 sacks. And people say, oh, it's coverage sacks. They held the ball. They're always going to find something. Like, you'll never prove anything wrong. But I will say, like, for me, it's about, like, you'll never question how hard I play. You know, yeah, I could go out there and have 4 TFLs and still tell me I'm not physical. Like, it don't matter what you do or what you put on tape, as long as it's involved with winning, and I'm a winner, I got to find a way to win. So, yeah, I'm still earning my respect. And it's a year-in, year-out thing. You could be the best this year, and you could earn your respect, and then the following year you could fall off. And I'm like, So it's respect is being consistent.
Here's the thing. He sounds like he's still mad about getting traded.
You think that's where it's coming from?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. That was all disrespect. It was Drew Jones basically saying he didn't deserve the salary that he's projected to get. And Green Bay's like, no, we think he's really good.
It's either that, and I'll buy that. Like, he's still, you know, he should obviously have a chip on his shoulder. That's from whence he came and made his name and all that kind of stuff. But he's also probably doing what all of us do and what all professional athletes end up doing. I think it was Grady Jarrett who the clues seemed to indicate that he was reading the negative comments. And that's like, if you want to find, like, he's probably right about all that. He probably is hearing or seeing people say stuff about him, like he takes plays off or he had a couple games without a sack. So we can all find the negative if we want, and he's finding it.
Did you guys see the story, the interview Steph Curry gave, where he literally says he goes at halftime and reads the tweets and finds negative tweets so that he can come out and play better in the second half? Like, these elite athletes, the top of the top, they are just looking for any inkling excuse to try to take it, even if they're playing well, to another level. And I think Micah Parsons is out here, whether it's mentally or physically, slapping himself in the face, looking in the mirror every morning, and he's trying to find a reason to get even more lathered up, no matter what the conditions. Understand this. This man already has 12 and a half sacks. His career high in sacks is 14 2 years ago. He's never not been all pro. He's been all pro first team twice. He's been all pro second team twice. This is his 5th season. Do the math. I think he's trying to prove that he's the best by saying, I'm going to make sure that you have no excuses. You can't talk bad about me. And the level of display he has to put out there to surpass, I don't know, Myles Garrett or whoever your favorite defensive player is something that he's using as a weapon in his own mind. That's what I think it is.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, but at least he takes you inside his process a little bit. And credit to that reporter for being like, wait, what's left? Like, what? Who's saying anything?
And he was serious when he asked, like, you're already Micah Parsons.
Yeah, and he's like, no. That was a great exchange to start. We have an update on Inside the Locker Room, Mark, right?
We do?
Yeah. This isn't the locker room. This is the, what would you call that room outside of the press room where they have the podium?
It's the,
PNC something.
Well, it's just the hallway outside of the locker room. I don't think there is a name for the PNC Center.
The atrium.
You're talking about
the atrium, the place where they have the podium and the
desks. Yeah, that is the PNC Center.
Okay, the PNC Center. Yeah, that's, I knew it was PNC something.
I'm pretty sure that's what we call it.
The press conference room, the one upstairs, not the big down.
Yeah. The one that we are in most days.
Well, we have an update from the PNC Center.
Oh, really?
It's not inside the locker room, but do you think it counts?
Yeah, kind of. Is this from today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I you know what? No, because I do not want my signature on this until I hear it.
Okay, that's fair. So this is from today, Ben Johnson giving us an update on the health of Rome Odunze and TJ Edwards.
Is TJ trending toward playing, and what would this return mean?
He's had a good week, so yeah, we're hopeful. We'll find out more today, another day of practice.
Can I ask about Rome? What's your level of concern with Rome?
He hasn't practiced the last 2 days. We'll see what it looks like here today and make a decision after that.
Wow, more optimistic about TJ Edwards than I am about Rome Odunze, honestly.
Yeah. Also me.
Didn't he sound like, he sounded like TJ might play.
But I'm kind of perturbed because, you know, they were like, oh, we're going to avoid injured reserve. Oh, but he missed 4 weeks anyway.
Yeah, and for whatever it's worth, I did not see TJ Edwards in a very lively locker room yesterday. He was limited, which meant that we, in theory, could have spoken to him in the locker room yesterday, but he has been nowhere to be seen. But the way he said, can you play that one more time? Because it really sounded like, oh, we got to do the old 60 seconds before we could play it again. Gotta get that fixed.
Our system can't play the cut once it's played until some time has passed. And I'm not quite sure why, mm-hmm. but that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Got to crank that thing up one more time, you know?
I thought we had moved past that.
No. Yeah, I know. In the digital age, it seems like it's different, but it's more of the same. I just imagine a little guy in the machine.
There it is.
And he's done running.
Is TJ trending toward playing, and what would this return mean?
He's had a good week, so yeah, we're hopeful. We'll find out more today, another day of practice.
I mean, yes.
Can I ask about Rome? What's your level of concern with Rome?
He hasn't practiced the last 2 days. We'll see what it looks like here today and make a decision after that.
That means maybe not.
Listen. Rome ain't playing. TJ's playing.
You know what it sounds like.
You know how I know this? Because the injury report's out.
Oh.
That's how I know this.
Cheater. Okay.
Let's go. Bring it.
Cheater?
Bring it, Mars Hall.
I have my notification set.
I actually am just happy that I think we got this one right. But go ahead.
DNP. Tyreek Stevenson.
By the way, did not practice. Not everybody knows what DNP is.
Did not practice. Yeah. Is that better?
True. Yeah. No, because, you know.
I was trying to do your nickname
does
thing.
Not
oh,
play.
Sorry. Now I feel bad.
Okay. So did not practice and out. Is Tyreek Stevenson. Did not practice and out is Rome Odunze.
Ah, crap.
Limited is Ruben Hippolyte, but he is also out. Hipsy. But he did go from DNP, did not practice.
Is he real?
On Thursday to limited. Ruben Hippolyte?
No. I'm beginning to get to the point.
He's not real, Layla. He's fast.
And then
that's the only thing we know about him. That's why I say
all
that.
All right.
Yeah.
Everybody else is listed as a full participant in practice, including Kyle Manungai and TJ Edwards, who were both limited yesterday. And, of course, Joe Tooney, who was a DNP, rest on Thursday. Everyone's full. And for the game, it's the hyphen, which means they are playing. So we're good.
Wait, Rome, what did you say about Rome?
Rome's out. I told you.
Okay, he's out.
Rome is out. Tyreek Stevenson is out. Ruben Hippolyte out. Everybody else,
okay.
Practiced
all
in
right.
full.
So
they're good to go.
Rome is out. Edwards is in. That's really what we needed from that. So that is okay.
Yeah, Edwards is in.
Yeah, that's huge for the Bears defense. And bad. That's bad for the Bears offense. It is not good that Rome Odunze is not playing.
So how do you feel about Tyreek being out?
He was out. He's been out the last couple of weeks. This is his third game that he's missed. So I don't like it, but they seem to have been okay with because of the depth that they have. I am less concerned about Tyreek being out. I don't like him being out, but they seem to be okay in the secondary.
Yeah, I will say this. The Roma Dunze being out, look, I love me some 12 and I love me some 13 personnel. Find them big boys. Let them big boys go to work.
I like that.
And in the running game, you talk about different looking the same and the same looks different. You put them tight ends on the field and get some mismatches depending on what we're looking at. I think Caleb could cook this weekend from a tight end receptions perspective.
Burden, too. There's another guy. Like, we always want more for Burden. This will be an opportunity for
OZ
him.
OZ will also
it
be
will.
Out there.
Yeah. I do think, too, like, for what it's worth, Durham Smythe, you knew exactly why the Bears signed him. And he's doing the exact thing that the Bears thought he was going to do. Which is kind of nice to just be like, they signed him for this. This is what he's doing. They're the same.
Are you calling for a big Durham Smythe game? Is that what you just did?
I like how he blocks, and he's here to block, and he's blocking.
Yeah. It's a good tight ends room. It's a good tight ends room. You are right. Everybody gets in, and they've targeted Durham Smythe like once a game.
Okay, so how do you feel about another cut from inside the PNC Center?
I love this. I love this. This is a fluid situation here. We're getting the sound right from the hall right now. Yeah, Layla Moore.
Okay.
Moss.
Ben Johnson was asked if he gets any fuel facing off against certain coaches.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know your opponent. I think, you know, as an offensive play caller, I always put in my head who the defensive play caller is and try to figure out some tendencies and things like that. But, I don't know that it's necessarily we're not the ones playing. And so I don't think you can really put it in that kind of box.
What was all this? I want to face Matt LaFleur talk.
Yeah, what was all this? I like beating him twice a year talk.
Does it please you? Wait, that wasn't him.
Are you gratified? What?
Can I back up real quick?
It's my feet.
Can I do the beep? That's my feet. Beep.
They my feet.
Beep.
Yeah. I love that so much.
I want to back up a little bit because what if Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley answered the question the way he answered it because he just don't want to smoke with Ben Johnson because he saw what Ben Johnson did to Vic Fangio last week.
He fears Ben Johnson.
I think he came from a place of confidence and security. I think that's what that was.
They're just being right. I mean, like, he's right. Like, everybody, as he said, paraphrasing, everybody wants to win the press conference, and you got to pander a little bit sometimes to win the press conference.
And perhaps the job interview. Was George McCaskey like, do you want to beat the Packers? And Ben's like, well, yeah.
Yeah, Lovey Smith on his
look me in the eyes and say it.
First day of being a Bears head coach talked about how important. Here's this guy from Texas and St. Louis coming in and like, oh, we got to beat the Packers. Okay, Lovey, settle down. I mean, Lovey didn't care about the Packers.
Are you telling Lovey the king of calm to settle down?
I guess I did just do that.
Yeah, like that wasn't making a lot of sense what he said.
No, I get what he said because it's
you're saying what I said didn't make sense.
Yeah, not the Lovey part. I got it. It's just the way you said the
tell him to settle down.
Yeah, I was like, wait.
Well, what I should have said is you don't have to do that for. We do want you to eventually talk about the Packers, but you don't have to start your press conference by pandering to the McCaskies, pandering to Virginia, pandering to Bears fans. It's a little bit silly for the real ones.
I don't know. I think Ben Johnson was very effective in the way that he did what he did because he had track record to back it up.
Yeah, that's true. It's a different animal. Everybody knew who Ben Johnson was. Ben Johnson literally had a resume playing against that team. Lovey Smith didn't care about the Bears-Packers rivalry when he walked into Hallis Hall. Get out of here.
That's fair. I am so intrigued by this matchup. And predictions in about, 25 minutes?
Ooh.
I
will also tell you during the prediction segment, I have Mason Crosby's prediction, and he told us who his... Remember, he played for the Packers starting in 2007 for 16 years. I asked him who his favorite Bears player in that time was. I will reveal that a little bit later on today.
You just can't stop reporting.
I can't stop. You're right. I've been in reporter mode all week.
Yeah, you're unstoppable.
I am unstoppable.
Brody can't stop reporting.
Can't stop the rain.
You know what wasn't able to be stopped against Philly?
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes, I had to think about it, though, because I was like, do you mean, because it's you, so I was like, do you mean can't stand the rain? I had to
blame it
on the rain.
All of it.
No, there's, because
Millie Vanilli, Misdemeanor Elliott.
No rain,
sing a
Blind
little
Melon.
Differently. All of that is fair.
Yeah.
So there's, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'll tell you what nobody's talking about. There is a redemption story on this Bears team that has somewhat slid under the radar. And I can't believe it, given the national attention this person used to get. So I think it's worth examining now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Here's Manunga. In he goes for the touchdown. They can't stop him. Good block by Jonah Jackson, the right guard. As Chicago extends its advantage.
Incredible. They've been running left and working to the backside with the patience of both Swift and Manungai. Offensive line, again, give them a lot of credit. This Eagles defense with Vic Fangio, they dare you to run the ball.
The Bears had two 100-plus yard rushers in the same game against the Eagles for the first time since Walter Payton and Matt Sui in 1985. That courtesy of Amazon Prime. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And we've talked a lot about how Ben Johnson put together this coaching staff. We have discussed the benefits of Dennis Allen as the defensive coordinator, also a former head coach, really doing his thing in a positive way. Al Harris, who's on his staff, the former secondary coach for the Cowboys, he's now with the Bears, and you see Nashawn Wright get Defensive Player of the Month in the NFC this past month. And yet, we haven't talked a lot about one of the best redemption stories perhaps there is right now. Eric Bieniemy, the Bears running backs coach, who even when he left UCLA, the discussion had to be qualified in the media that him leaving UCLA, people had questions about the nature of how he left from there. This is a assistant coach and a former coordinator who had a lot of press in the league and questions as to why he wasn't getting a head coaching job after his work throughout the league. His work with the Commanders, for example, his work with the Chiefs, that's where he overlapped with Ryan Poles. And we talk about this Bears running game, not just one individual back, but the team rushing, which is right now second in the NFL to only the Buffalo Bills, averaging 153.8 yards per game. And it's time to give him credit.
He deserves more than just credit. He kind of deserves a lauding of sort, right? Because remember what we were all saying about, let's be honest, the running back situation post-draft. We were wondering, how exactly are they going to get the most out of this? Are they going to go and sign a guy that gets cut from another team after training camp? Are they going to make a trade? None of those things happen. And instead, you found out that DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manunga, a seventh-round draft pick, have been more than ample in getting whatever Ben Johnson has as a vision for his running game, because no one's talking poorly about the running game, which averages the second most yards on the ground behind the Buffalo Bills right now. They're talking about the fact that this running game can be as fearsome as we saw displayed in Philadelphia on Black Friday as any in the league. And that's saying something when you talk about Ben Johnson and just how he has done things historically looking at his time in Detroit.
Yeah, and
it's a little cold. The part that I'm going to point out too about Eric Bieniemy and the Bears coaching staff as well, and the coaching staff has been good at knowing what they don't need to, and they did identify that Roschon Johnson wasn't it. That they did, this is one of Ryan Poles's picks, and I know that it's not like Roschon Johnson would like we anticipated him to ever be the guy, but his star, so to speak, has fallen precipitously since this coaching staff has come in. And sometimes that's the hard part, like especially since he's one of Ryan Poles's draft picks and this guy is developing, and they said, yeah, we could do this, but we're not gonna do it with that guy. We're gonna do it with these two guys, Manungai and Swift. That's what they told us, and that's what's happening.
Well, think about also just how Eric Bieniemy came out seemingly almost immediately after he and Ben Johnson, of course, were hired and that staff was put together. And the quote that he had on the Bears Etc. podcast, courtesy of their YouTube channel, now more than anything, we got to make sure that DeAndre Swift understands he can find 4.5 yards between the tackles, but also hit the home run when he needs to. How does that sound to you now when you hear him say that?
Plausible.
Like, he came out there and he's like, this is what's going to happen. And I'm like, that's cool that you said that. Yeah, that's great that you said it. But like, we have yet to see this. Well, he showed us.
It seems much more realistic now that, well, it's been happening than it did at any point, let's say, before the bye, right? And the makeover that this team has undergone since the bye week, in all facets, understanding they were not fully healthy, they didn't know who their left tackle necessarily was. It's been interesting to see how the running backs have kind of just done their thing and been stubbornly headstrong and doing what they're asked to the best of their ability. We've come a long way since Kyle Manungai was literally running backwards on the football field.
I mean, that's it. Yeah, the first two games, this running game looked bad. You know, that was part of it. Even in the Chiefs game, the last game of the preseason, you know, it wasn't ideal then. But they've chipped away at it, kind of like what you do when you keep running the ball, whether or not it's going to work. And we've seen the results.
It's pretty amazing. Like, I'm just looking at the exact stats right now for both the Bears and the Packers in terms of their rushing yards. The Bears are second in the league. Bears are averaging right now 153.8 rushing yards per game. Never gets old looking at something like that, considering the struggles of the past. And Green Bay ain't bad. They are 16th at 117.2 with Josh Jacobs and Emmanuel Wilson. So there could be plenty of run going on at Lambeau Field on Sunday.
This might be a smash mouth type of football game.
I like that idea.
Don't we all?
A couple of big throws, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's how you do it, right? You ground and pound, and then you open it up when there's a time to do so. This is back in April when Eric Bieniemy talked about trying to maximize the team's running backs.
I have a lot of fun coaching because it's an opportunity to give back to these young men and help them to grow in this profession. Obviously, we want to be the very best that we can be, okay? And so there is a level of expectation that I expect. I expect us to work hard. I expect us to play hard. And these guys know because we've talked. I told them, hey, I'm old school. If you don't work, we don't eat. But working means that we're working with a purpose, okay? We got to understand and define our purpose. And everybody's role is different because these guys all bring something tremendous to the table, and they all complement each other. But there's a standard in which we have to live by, and we need to understand that standard. And a part of that right now, we're still in the process of putting the pieces together of our system and how we're going to put it together and put these guys in the best situation. But when it's all said and done with, I want these guys to come to work every single day understanding that we're going to live it one play at a time, one day at a time, and maximize that opportunity to make the most of it.
And he talked big talk, and the Bears have backed him up. DeAndre Swift said this back in June about how Eric Bieniemy had changed it up.
It's been good, man. His experience, he's had success for a number of years. So, his style of coaching is something I kind of gravitate to be honest with you. Holding everybody accountable, like the little stuff is big stuff with him as well, like the details and everything like that. It's the type of coach you want to play for. I mean, he ain't going to let nothing go by the wayside, just like Ben and everybody else on the staff. So make you kind of turn your level up as well.
I wonder, like, what's next for a lot of these coaches on the Bears staff. Now, I tend to think that, you know, with Eric Bieniemy, honestly, like, putting it bluntly, the ship has probably sailed for him to become a head coach at this point, because he's interviewed several places, and what seems to come out is that he's not a good interview. It's probably some of that old school mentality, and some of the stuff with, you know, players maybe being turned off by some of that old school mentality in the past. But, you know, you look at Al Harris, his name is probably going to become, I'm not saying for a head coaching job yet, but maybe coordinator. Same thing with Antoine Randall L. Could he be, you know, running an offense eventually? Who knows with Bieniemy? Maybe he gets another shot at being an OC, but I think he may have just found the perfect place for himself.
But I think when it comes to us talking about, say, Nashawn Wright, it did get me thinking about the Bears running game and the coach, who said a lot of stuff that we were all very interested in the offseason as to how that was going to play out. And, you know, like we said, we understand that it's this unwritten or unpublished discussion around him, you know, going back to that, having to clarify how he left UCLA for whatever reason. And what we have seen this time around is results. And I think he deserves some credit for that.
No, I think he's going to get the credit, and if the wins continue to pile up, depending on how well they finish this regular season, and of course what they do in the postseason, that's when all this stuff kind of gets heated up. You know, if you go back to how these coaching cycles usually work, I mean, it's usually teams having to wait a second, because if you're in the playoffs, you can't interview but for a very short window. So it's like you find out then and there who you're in jeopardy of losing from your staff. And again, a sign of a very good football team is people want your coaches and want to elevate them into new and better roles on their teams with new coaching staffs. And one thing we know is at the end of the season, teams will be firing coaches and looking for new ones.
I don't remember the last time
somebody got poached from a Bears staff. Yeah,
well, I guess Adam Gase back in the day, who was Jay Cutler's favorite, or the offensive coordinator under whom Jay Cutler was most successful. He took off for the Jets, right?
How'd that work out?
Not
also
great.
I'm laughing because you had to qualify favorite, because that may have not been the proper term.
Adam Gase was scary at the podium. That's all I remember.
Yeah, it might not have been. You're right. It probably, that's why I kind of housed it a little bit. I was like, he was very successful. Doesn't mean he liked Adam Gase or any of the offensive coordinators that Jay Cutler
wanted to do what Jay Cutler wanted to do.
Tell Martz I said bleep you.
That's still one of my favorite things ever.
Mike Martz.
Well,
I like Mike Martz.
Yeah.
No, I like Mike Martz, but he was told to bleep off.
Yeah, and I
by
mean,
Jay Cutler.
It was probably the last one was Vic Fangio, right? To head coach.
That's
for
a good
Denver.
One. Yeah, that's a good
that's
one.
That's what I'm thinking.
No
about.
Doubt. That's a good pilfering right there.
But yeah, I think if we're in the mode of giving people their appropriate credit, as we have to the Bears running game and DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai, I think Eric Bieniemy deserves to be part of that too. And I will say this, I told our guys in the meeting, Bieniemy is your friend.
So nice, Layla.
Had to do it.
It's a nice, very punny of you.
Had to do it.
Yeah.
If I were writing graphics still for broadcast, that would be one of them.
Bieniemy is your friend.
Bieniemy is your friend.
Very good, Layla.
I also had the one I never used for Thomas Brown, which is, what can Brown do for you?
Now, I did hear that one a few times. So unfortunately, other people had that one as well. But that was good.
Since it was the UPS slogan, I figured, it's not exactly an original.
Yeah, it did pop into other people's heads too. But yes, Thomas Brown we should always appreciate. Like, let's make sure as a show we go out of our way whenever the Bears play at Lambeau to give a shout out to Thomas Brown, okay? Because he did end an 11-game losing streak against the mighty Pack.
He earned that W.
I know we're up against it, we're on the way out, but speaking of guys who could quickly be repositioned into better situations, you know where Thomas Brown is right now.
Where is he?
Oh, he's the passing game coordinator for the New England Patriots.
Oh,
I expect him to have a new job soon.
Oh, I don't know.
Later.
Have you heard his name once?
Well, it's
well,
early.
We
though.
Don't we're care. Not, we haven't paid attention because everything's been me.
No, that's true, but you guys follow the NFL. I've not heard Thomas Brown's name once.
Well, what I'm saying is we're not quite to that point yet. I'm saying at the end of this month,
that's when things will start
heating up.
Popping up a little bit. Like, okay, we'll see. Hey, I root for the guy. We all like Thomas Brown, right? Seemed like a fun guy with a lot of attitude. And he wasn't like... I mean, he was great at first, and then he kind of looked like a Bears head coach after a while until he beat Green Bay.
But that was the stink of the Bears.
You don't break systems. Systems break you.
Oh, yeah. What was the word that everybody was using, that all the players were using to describe Thomas Brown? Like, some, there was a...
There was a word.
Caleb.
Well, accountability was a big part of the discussion.
Caleb had a word for him, and all the players were kind of saying it. It was something... What was it?
Living in the note?
No, it wasn't living...
Now I just harass Grody with that
living
term.
In the known,
because I know he hates it.
I do hate it, and I still have I am no closer to knowing what it means, by the way,
it's,
either.
It's, for example, if you're like, the only way we can win this game is if we're perfect, and you don't feel confident about your week of practice, that is the unknown.
Oh, that's the unknown. Oh, so don't bring the unknown into this.
So the known is like, no, we got this. We can do this.
I gave up a long time ago trying to explain this to Grody.
So living in the known, I don't want to do this.
Yeah,
I'm
not doing
it. Take the break. Take the break. I'm done with this.
Coming up next, we're going to have predictions. And Mark is going to bring us Mason Crosby's prediction and the other reporting he got to during our show.
I got it. I got text messages here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time. We do this every Friday. Sometimes it has to be earlier, like when the Bears play on Friday. It's prediction time here on Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score. But first, we have to start with Mark Grody's endless reporting. Mason Crosby joined us earlier today on the show, the former Packers kicker. He hosts a show now in Milwaukee on The Fan, our sister station. And Grody had a couple questions for him that we didn't get to.
So the two questions that were texted to Mason Crosby after we got off the air with him are, who do you think is going to win? And the other one was, in your opinion, who was the Bears' best player during your days in Green Bay, which started in 2007 and ended in 2022? So here is the answer from Mason Crosby, Packer media man, former kicker for the Packers, and did beat the Bears one time in 2016. This is his quote. I picked the Packers 28-14 yesterday, says Mason Crosby, on our show, says Mason Crosby. Best and least favorite to play against? Devin Hester. Man, was he special. That's Mason Crosby. So he picks the Packers to win, and he loves Devin Hester.
That makes all the sense in the world because he's on the field like,
faced him.
It
yes.
actually makes sense.
And it's his butt if Hester ran past him, so he had to learn how to wrap up and make a tackle if he needed.
That makes all the sense in the world. Because, of course, I was thinking he's going to say Urlacher or Briggs or something like that. But no, of course it's Hester.
He went with an obvious and yet very obvious choice.
Super obvious choice. When you think about it, take 2 seconds to think about it. That makes all the sense.
Yeah, there's no other answer.
And we had to get it, though.
Maybe Manley. Manley could have been it. We should have asked him about Patrick Manley. My God, they both played the same amount of years, basically.
Yeah.
Wild.
Damn. God, we needed more time with Mason Crosby.
Time is a flat circle. Yeah, we did. We could have had 2 segments with Mason Crosby.
You never know, though, right? You just never know.
Well, we had to ask him, like, hey, what is your coach doing?
Like, oh, absolutely. I mean, we asked all the questions we had to ask, but we had more to go.
We did. I have a question for you.
Uh-oh.
What do you think is going to happen Sunday?
It's my turn.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Ladies and gentlemen, much like Mason Crosby said, I made a pick yesterday as well on the Take the North episode. New episode up and running right now. And I did pick. Ready for this? I won't tell you who Dan picked. Let you listen for that. But I picked the Bears to win the game by a final score of 27-24. I know how dangerous this Packers defense is. I've talked about it a lot this week, but I will counter with what I have been saying. Hey, man, if this Bears offensive line is what we think it is all of a sudden and it has gotten to this certain point, then there's no reason to think the Bears can't do the things that they still want to do, running the football and protecting your quarterback. That's what the offensive line does and has been doing and will continue to do. Bears 27, Packers 24.
I have a question. How many times do you think that Caleb Williams will be sacked on Sunday?
Twice.
Okay. Twice is... I think we would all sign up for that.
Twice.
Twice is nice.
I think he's going to get sacked twice.
Okay.
In this game. And I also think that Jordan Love will be sacked zero times.
I hate...
Then if that happens, let me just tell you right now, the Bears will lose the game.
Really?
Yes. If that happens, the Bears will lose.
I hate to say this. I don't think they're going to win.
Listen to your heart.
I don't think they're going to win.
That's okay.
That's what our heart and head are telling
us. I got to tell you, a lot of people are picking the Packers, Layla. It's okay.
And
Let it out.
It's a couple different things. It's the fact that the likelihood of an NFL team winning four straight games on the road is pretty low, just in the NFL.
Two of which will have been two of the toughest places to play, Philly and Lambeau.
So for me, it was more like a probability and odds factor. And the other thing is, I really did start to think about just the simple matchup of the closing speed of Micah Parsons versus the elusive speed of Caleb Williams. And I'm like, ugh, man. And if you watch him imitate Caleb Williams in the practice video, I'm like, why do you look better at this than the people who are good at this? And that got to me a little bit. I want to be wrong. And I want you guys to rub it in my face when the Bears win. But I think it might be Packers 24, Bears 20.
All right.
We talk about breakthroughs, and I think this is a week in which Caleb Williams has a breakthrough. I'm not predicting that he will throw at a 70% completion rate, but I don't think it'll be 47.2%, which is what he threw for last week.
No,
you called for a breakthrough last week, too, by the way, pal.
Listen, all he had was a breakthrough throw.
Marshall's due to be right.
No.
All of these things.
I'm sorry. Did
he was due kills me, man. Was due gets me all the time. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're due.
I don't think he's due. I don't think that's what it is. I don't think it's due.
Yeah, but you said he's going to have a breakthrough last week.
Yeah. I also said the Bears are going to win. Yeah. And they did that, too.
But they didn't win. There was no breakthrough last week Caleb.
When he delivered the final blow.
It was a hell of a pass.
Yes,
he delivered
the final blow.
Well, it wasn't like a big Caleb game, though.
And he only got sacked twice, which is fine. Like, two sacks or less. I'm signing up for that every time for a quarterback. I think the important thing here is the success he has had against Green Bay is real. He had him beat at home. He beat him on the road last year. And he threw for over 70% of his passes completed. I think those are very real things he could take away from what happened last year. And I think whether you want to say he's quote-unquote due or not, I think he's going to have a better game this week than he had last week. And I think that's going to result in the Bears finding a way to win on the road and beat Green Bay. This is the thing that I was going back and forth about. Is it going to be Micah Parsons or is it going to be Caleb? It's going to be Caleb.
Score?
Oh, sorry. Score? Higher than you probably think. I got 31-23.
Dang. Grant Leader, Ray Diaz, is your time.
All right, so for my prediction, I'm going 24-13 Packers, and I think they split it. So I'm going to say that Packers win in Lambeau and the Bears win at Soldier.
Look at that.
That's kind of how I feel, yeah.
That was pretty slick what he just did right there. He picked the Packers, but he quickly told everybody that he was going to pick the Bears to win the second game. Good, smart work, Grant.
Thank you, Mark Grody.
Yeah, you need to ingratiate yourself, young man.
All right, so I have this. I wrote this down before the segment, and I have Marshall's exact score written down, 31-23. I think it's going to be Bears. And screw my prediction, because we all want to know Sean Sears' prediction.
I predicted against him. That was my big thing. I was like, I'm going against Sean Sears this week.
What's his record?
It's 12-0, so God. I will reiterate once again. I know Marshall touched on it. 27-24, Sean Sears undefeated. He has the Packers winning.
I would actually love to. I don't know if he's here today, I would love to hear Baby T's breakdown of this game because we know exactly who he's picking. He would not pick the Bears because he's petty like that. He's like me when I was his age. Like, he's got a anger, a ferocity for the Packers. Like, I bet he's hoping for injuries the way I did when I was his age. Yeah, we got to find out what Baby T's thinking at some point in time.
Baby T's a good character in the movie that is the score.
He's a great character in the movie. Yeah. I think we dropped the ball as a radio station by not sending Farrengel to the Wiener Circle the other day. We dropped the ball. Who would have been better than Tyler Farrengel hanging out at Wiener Circle?
Just
and
talking
nothing.
To the people? Yeah. Yeah. Baby T would have been great.
Would have been
that.
Awesome at that. We gotta use him more.
I like it. More Baby T.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.